Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Turn your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at two verses tonight, verse 26 and 27, of a message that God laid on my heart titled, I Don't Know What to Say. I believe this is going to resonate with each and every one of us. I believe really the Lord kind of laid this on my heart as a result of the loss that I've seen, ones that I have known recently that have undergone. It's those times, and I think I might even have referenced it either this morning or in the past week, those times that you don't know what to pray for. You don't know what to say, whether it is a parent in the loss of a child in the loss of a parent, a brother or sister in the loss of a dear friend. It's those times when you almost, in a sense, you're not despondent, but you feel despondent. You don't understand God's way. I know when I was talking to my brother, Robert Grody, in the loss of his son, he doesn't understand it, but yet he knew, and he has steadfastly exalted Christ in this whole thing. But I know there has to be those times. I know with my mother on the mission field and father and the loss of my sister, Martha, not understanding why God has allowed what God was allowing at that moment, not in their minds knowing, as we're able to look now, that God saw now. Had my sister Martha lived, I've said this time and time again, my parents were not going to have any more children. So what God knew in His sovereignty, His ability to transcend time, is that He knows what has to be done to accomplish His will. And this just kind of tonight just speaks to the struggles we have in our weakness. Maybe we have a physical infirmity. We have a spiritual battle we're in the midst of. I don't know what to say is the title of it, because there are going to be those times, as sold out and as godly as you or I can ever dream that we are. Ultimately, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. What does weakness speak to? It doesn't speak to strength, does it? Weakness means that we're at a place where we're struggling. And I just pray that this encourages you tonight again as we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And if you are able, physically, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's Word. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches the heart knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Father God, we thank You tonight, Lord, that You transcend time. God, that You are God, You are the ultimate I Am. Lord, I thank You that we can trust You, Father, that we can rest in You, all of our hope. God, our very essence is in You. Lord, in You we live, move, breathe, and have our being. God, this, as we read Your Word tonight, we know Your Word promises that it will not return void, but will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. God, move in a mighty way tonight. God, encourage us, challenge us, correct us, rebuke us. Father, whatever it is, Lord, may You be lifted up, exalted, and glorified in this place tonight. And we ask all this in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of verse 26 again. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. Again, this is speaking to those times. You really look at Job, and I would say Job was at a weak place. I see it as a place of strength spiritually. But when you see Job's response to immense, unspeakable loss, was worship. I spoke to this morning with Paul and Silas. The beating that they sustained, friends, if you watch the caning that happened this past week in the UAE, you would realize Paul and Silas would have sustained that type of beating. They got 100 lashes. They would not have gotten that, but they would have gotten 39, as I would talk to you about Wednesday night. But the level of beating they would have had would have inflicted a level of pain that would have been extremely misery. It would have been extreme misery. It would have been pain, big time. Most likely they would have been bleeding. So as they're ushered out of this beating and taken to a jail cell, not nice and warm, not with doctors to attend them, not with some aloe vera lotion with lidocaine in it. No, they would have been placed in a cold cell, most likely rock, and they would have been left there to suffer. And we know from the Word what their response was to this. It was the same response that Job had when faced with unspeakable hurt. It was the same response that my friend Robert had in the loss of his son. It was to immediately default to their heart's condition, which was praise, worship, and to glorify the name of God. Even in the depth of our pain, I want to share this first thing with you tonight. When we are at our weakest, God's power is strongest. When we are at our weakest, God's power is strongest. When we are at this place right here, in the same way the Spirit joins to help in our weakness, we are so conditioned in our culture to function in strength, in power. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, especially in the lost world. Don't nobody do for me and mine. I take care of my own. Okay? Yes, you need to go out and work. You need to do what the Bible says. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Amen. But that statement's one made in pride and arrogance, in a sense, the way I used to be. Nobody did anything for me. When I was lost, you didn't come and do for me. I took care of myself. Nobody did anything for me. And that was in pride. That was in arrogance. That was in self-sufficiency. And brothers and sisters, that is AKA also known as sin. It's self. It's all based on self. There is no weakness in that. There is only a place of strength. And by the way, in weakness, it is disguised as anger, strength. There is no way anybody's going to see me or that I have a weakness. I hear people say, you know, Brother Jonathan, don't take much for you to cry. Nobody said that here, thank the Lord. But I say, you know, don't take much for you to cry. Man, but I don't cry. I'm not a crier. Don't trust a man. Don't cry. Don't trust him. That's a man that's hiding something. If you find a man that can't get sensitive about the things of the Lord or what God's doing in his life or his family, don't trust him. And I'm dead serious when I say that. You know why? Because God created that emotion for a reason. There is transparency in that. And when you and I put a hardened wall up, all we're doing is hiding. And if you're a man or a woman of God especially too, you find a woman of God, so I don't cry. Don't trust them. Because there's an issue. Me and Miss Martha, we don't cry. Do we, Miss Martha? I know we do. Before I came to Christ, you wouldn't have seen me cry. Mm-mm. Didn't happen. I'd fight before I'd cry. But all of the hardened shell of self, self-service, and selfishness was walling in. See, there was no heart for me to have ever opened my home to anybody or to have done anything other than serve the temple of self. There was no weakness in my character. What is weakness the hallmark of? A brother or sister in Christ. One who's sensitive to the things of the Lord, realizing that the very breath that you breathe is the Lord's, and wherever God leads you to the point of weakness is to the place where His power is being made perfect in our lives. What have I said over and over again? We want this Joel Osteen TV type of relationship with the Lord, don't we? We've been taught this. And oh, when God's blessing us and we have abundance and oh, just look at all this stuff and look at the job promotions and the new car and look at the house and look at this. Isn't this, look how much God's blessed me. Really? when we looked a week ago or whenever it was, that the Bible says to consider yourself blessed when you suffer for the name, I would actually beg to differ. If there is no suffering or pain in the life, I would actually say the level of blessing has substantially been lowered in your life. Because all throughout Scripture, there is the speaking of blessing in suffering. It is an honor to be found worthy to suffer for His name. And when we know that right here, the Spirit joins to help in our weakness, where's the Spirit's help when we function out of self and our strength? Where is the ability to feel God's power at that moment of sheer desperation, trusting God, trusting His Word, trusting His promises, but in that moment saying, God, Your ways are not my ways, Your thoughts are not our thoughts, Your ways are higher than our ways, and Your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Job, God, I don't understand why I've lost all this, but naked I came, naked I go, You give, You take away, blessed be Your name. And that is an act of worship. Even in the midst of not understanding that moment, those moments, that period of time, it does in any way lessen God's holiness, His justice, His righteousness. If anything else, it magnifies it. Because the promise of God is being fulfilled in our lives that says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Of what? Many kinds. We know that God's refining us in the midst of those because it says through those, what? Perseverance must finish its work. So what? We will be complete, not lacking anything. Find me someone who is always in the midst of a blessing, overwhelming abundance. Where does the growth come from? Tell me. I will tell you, in my life, the greatest growth period in my life was the 4 years in bed. I will tell you. Because when you wake up every day and you realize that your day today is the same as it was yesterday, and your week is the same as it was last week, and your month was the same as it was, and your year was the same. And by the way, this continues on, as the doctor said to me, Dr. Johnson, he's in Tullahoma now, he's in Nashville then. He sat in front of me at 29 years old and said, you have got to get used to this. This is your new normal for the rest of your life. I'll never forget it. The rest, I can still see his face. See, God's power is the strongest when those moments happen. God's power is made perfect when we're Paul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he is pled, and when you look at that actually, and you look at the level of desperation in Paul's pleading with the Lord, he said three times, we have a tendency to go, oh Lord, what is it? Oh Lord, what is it? Oh Lord, what is it? Okay, oh, my power is made perfect in weakness. No. Brothers and sisters, this is desperation. Paul was crying out in desperation to God, saying, Lord, remove this from me. A pleading. He pled with the Lord. You know what pleading is, right? Can you imagine what pleading, if you really think about it, if you're pleading with a judge who has the ability to destroy the rest of your life through your own choice, but giving us what we deserve, and you had an ability to address the court to see that the judge may find mercy on you, do you know what you would do, or I would do, right? That's pleading. Can you imagine the depth of your pleading and your grief and your despondency would be in a case like that, if you knew that your 25 years of your life is getting ready to go down the toilet if he doesn't have mercy on you? Amen? That's what pleading is. So now imagine Paul. We don't know what the affliction is. I think it is left nameless for that reason, because it applies to all of us. Oh, he had gout. Oh, well, I don't have gout. Oh, he had a back problem. I don't have a back problem. Oh, I had a knee problem. I don't have a knee problem. Oh, migraines. Oh, I don't have migraines. No, it's left nameless because it applies to all of us. And in those moments that The doctor says, you've got 6 months, you've got 6 weeks, you've got 6 years, you've got 60 days. And you've got as long as God has divinely orchestrated before the foundations of the world were laid. No doctor tells you or I when we're going to die. They can look at it from a medical standpoint, but brother and sister, I want to tell you something. There is no doctor that can usurp, that can trump what God in His infinite wisdom and His ability to transcend time knows and will walk us to the very depth of our brokenness, to the valley of the shadow of death, will walk us through that and then be there to receive us as a follower of Jesus Christ at His mercy, bema seat. And that right there is exciting. There's nothing. We can't leave here 2 seconds before it's time. And we ain't leaving 2 seconds after. Amen. Oh, you're going to die in a wreck one day, so you're going to get a bunker and you're going to hang out in a bunker. Great. Guess what? You have a massive heart attack. You'll throw a blood clot. You'll have an aneurysm. When it's time to go, friends, train's going to roll. Amen. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And you know what the great thing is? Perfect love casts out all fear. We don't have an expectation of judgment when we stand before the Lord. Because what did we talk about? The robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ, as we're celebrating the Advent, the coming of Jesus and what He represents for us. What does He represent? We went on this morning, peace, the peace of God, the enmity that we had with God because of sin. Jesus Christ restored fellowship through the salvation, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He restored us to God, to fellowship the same way in the Garden of Eden. And God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. That ability to fellowship with God that was broken through Jesus Christ, we have the ability to go boldly before His throne to talk to Dad. But there's times we don't know what to say. There's times that we don't know what to do. Listen to the second half of verse 26. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. You ever thought about that, by the way? I have. Probably not nearly what it is, but I've just thought about those times when you just don't, God, I don't know what to say. Lord, I don't know what to do. And it's in a sense, Dad, right? God, the Holy Spirit, Dad makes things right. He cleans it up and presents it to the Father. That's awesome, isn't it? The thought itself. The second thing that I want to share with you tonight comes from that part of the verse. Pour out your pain to God. The Holy Spirit will clean it up. Amen. Pour out your pain to God. Pour it out. Tell Him. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hurts. He knows our insecurities. He knows our fears. He knows our failures. Pour out your pain. You let the Holy Spirit clean it up. It says right there, we don't know what to pray or what we should ask, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. Are you there? Or are you too prideful to get broken before God's presence? Don't worry, it'll happen. Give it time. Trust me, when you go see Him, if you're not doing it, you might get there then. I can promise you will. Verse 27. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Absolutely. Powerful. Amen. And He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This third and final thing I will share with you is that God knows all of us. Let him do what he does best. Everything. Parents, how many of us struggle with the control of, well, if I just call at 5 o'clock and I know they're not gonna, and I know they're not out, I'm not gonna have to worry tonight. Or if I'm just gonna keep beating on him or her because they're gonna finally give up. If I just say the right thing, stop it. We're not God, and stop playing God. We're not God. We don't change hearts. We don't save. We don't convict. I will tell you as plainly as possible tonight, shut up. And I say that because I see so much damage done by well-meaning people like you and I. Stop. When you and I have said what needs to be said, it's time to stop. You know why? We serve a powerful God. We serve an omnipotent God, an all-powerful, an omniscient, an all-science God, an omnipresent God. But when you and I drop something off here, in a sense, before his feet at the altar, right? We go in his presence, man. We say, I'm dropping this off and I'm letting it go. And then we walk back, right, on Sunday evening, and we come in and we pick it up and we go back to doing that. Guess what we're doing? We're saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Lord, I've got to say a couple of more things. God, one of them being, I don't trust you. You know how we trust God? Let God be God. God knows your heart. He knows my heart, just what Dan said. When you've got that prodigal child, I actually think that you and I can dig a grave when we enable them. I think one of the most dangerous things we can do is not to send them down that lane like the prodigal son's father did. I think that's one of the most dangerous things that us as Christians can do. Hold on to them in their wickedness. Because I think there's times that God has to take them out of here because we are standing in the way of the redemption. It's a hard thought, isn't it? But my question is, are we going to trust God? And how can there ever be a homecoming if the prodigal son's father had never sent him down the road? If you ever want to get a really good illustration of that story, get on YouTube, type in Keith Green, prodigal son, or prodigal son suite. Phenomenal. Phenomenal presentation of the prodigal son story. Beautiful. Beautiful. Dan, you heard out of him, didn't you? You heard him in person. Beautiful. Beautiful picture of the prodigal son story. Passionate presentation of it, I might add. See, God knows us. He knows our hearts. Do your part. Not only with your children, but with your spouse. When you said what needs to be said, shut down. Be quiet. Stop. I share with people all the time, you and I cannot do the work of the Spirit, and when we do, it's as if God says, all right, have your way. The problem is, we make a disaster of what could have been so beautiful. You know what else I think? I think there's a lot of delayed homegoings, or comings. The lane happening, the prodigal son coming home, the father lifting up his robe, running to his son to greet him. The beauty of what that represents, the shameful act of the father running to him would have been so shameful because he was a patriarch. This guy was a public leader in a sense. He didn't care. He would disgrace himself. His son was home. How many times are those homecomings delayed exponentially? When the ones that don't happen because no one ever, but let's say We ultimately do that, but then we try to pick it up, right? We try to call the prodigal, hey, son, are you sick of it yet? No, don't call. Stop. What do? You do the only phone call that matters. That's the Lord. God, I want so bad to know that my child is okay right now, but I know, God, they are in direct rebellion against you, and I know that, God, your word says I shouldn't even eat with them right now. God, give me the strength because this is breaking my heart. God, I'm holding to your promises right now. God, I know you're not a liar. I know you are just, you are righteous, you are holy. God, give me the strength to stand, to trust fully in your word, in the promises of your word. God, I don't know what to say. God's faithful. He is faithful. Tonight, are y'all in the trusting of God? If not, why not? If not, how about tonight starting and saying, you know, I want to see those powerful works of the Spirit. I want to see my prayers answered in unimaginably wild ways. I want to watch God do the impossible. You know where that starts? It's in this now almost famine of a thing called obedience. Obedience is tough because what it requires us to do is, in faith, step out, just like Abraham. We got the promise, but we've got to step out and do it before we ever experience the promise, the blessing. God's not going to say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the blessing now, then you can go out. No. It takes stepping out in faith, trusting God and His promises, because those who doubt get what? Nothing. Because what are we showing? Our faithlessness. Well, I don't know what to do. I struggle with doubt. You have not because you ask not. God, help my unbelief. We see that in the Scripture. Start there if that's what you have to do. Work your way up in growth. All this stuff that we talk about this morning, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, is a process, a lifelong process, I might add. This is something that we will never, as I said this morning, ever graduate from until what? The glorification. Sanctification is where we're in right now as a follower of Christ. Graduation day is glorification. And guess what? That's when we breathe our last breath. Until that very moment, God's going to be refining us. As that song, He's still working on me to make me what ought to be. It took just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. That's the song for all of us. I don't care if you're 90 years old or 9. That's the same song with the same passion. Because at 90 years old, you will not be refined. You will know that you've graduated when you wake up in the presence of the God of all creation. And then, as Beulah says, your faith will become sight. That is when you graduate and I graduate. But you know what? We got work to do till that day. Today we've got work to do when we're in the battle, when we're in the valleys, when we're in the struggles. We're in that place where we go, God, oh Lord, what if I have a child that comes out and says they want to live as this lifestyle that you say and your word is not going to bring blessing? Oh God, please don't let that happen. You know what? If it happens, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand firm in God's promises, His truth, and His word? Are we going to do what's such a great tendency for every one of us? Well, Lord, I can't abandon. Lord, I can't. I need trust God's promises. He is always faithful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are faithful, God. Lord, I thank you that you are forever on the throne. God, you are the God of the ages, the God of creation. God, you love us with a love that is incomprehensible, Lord. We cannot begin to understand the depth of your love for us. God, on our worst day, you love us as much as the day that we are the most obedient, Father God. We thank you for that. Though we cannot understand it, it doesn't change anything about the truth of it. God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we've looked at your word, God, and those times that we battle, which are so numerous, Father, continually we're struggling, whether it's with faith and God trusting you, Lord, whether it's a battle with sin or attitudes or actions that should not be where they are. Oh, God, grow us, Lord, refine us. God, tenderly, compassionately move us into the place that is your desired will for our life. Father God, I thank you that at those times that we do not know what to say, Father, you do. Your spirit that dwells in us, Father, takes those groanings, Lord, that cannot be understood and presents what needs to be presented to you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are always faithful, Lord, and tonight that you would go with us as we go into our mission fields. Lord, continue to refine us, Father. As the refiner's fire is not easy, it's not fun. But God, I thank you that you chastise those that you love, Lord. And even in disobedience, Lord, you lovingly bring us through pain and suffering many times, Lord, to repentance, but also the beauty of restoration. God, we thank you so much for Jesus, Lord, the one that we are made righteous in through his sacrifice, through his atonement, Lord, and the propitiate, the payment for our sin. God, we thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We praise you. May you and you alone be glorified, lifted up, and honored tonight as you deserve to be. You are King Jesus. God, we give you full dominion, Lord. Take captive our hearts, our passions, our longings, and make them yours. And we ask this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Love you all.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.